All right. Welcome back to the Health, Love, and Happiness podcast. I'm so excited to have Jessica Alessagne here in the house. Did I get it right?
Yeah, yes, you did. Perfect.
Sweet. All right. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Jessica. First of all, if you guys remember, I did an interview with her husband, AK, who we talked all about fitness and kids' mental health and all about the wonderful things that they are doing at Lemon Lifters. And Jessica joined me today because we are going to talk all about that. In particular, we're going to go a little bit deeper into girls and young girls and women a little bit. But before we get started, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Jessica. She is passionate and very dedicated to the strength and conditioning of our children. So coaching them through all elements of life. She is the co-owner of Limit Lifters Elite Performance and Mentorship along with her husband. With a background in track and field, weightlifting, and a current focus in OCR racing. What's that, Jess?
Obstacle course racing.
Okay, I was wondering about that. And long distance races, Jessica has amassed a wealth of experience in helping athletes unleash their full potential. So in particular, as a female coach, Jessica brings a unique perspective and understanding to the world of fitness. She firmly believes that fitness encompasses not just physical strength, but also mental resilience and overall well-being, which we're going to talk about so much today. Her mission is to inspire and to empower individuals, particularly women, which is mine as well. So we're going to dig into that, to become the best versions of themselves, both internally and externally. So Jessica takes a great pride in creating a supportive and inclusive environment where the women feel comfortable and confident in their fitness journeys. Like I said, Jessica and her husband, Adekunle. Sorry, AK. I just call you AK. I've known you forever and I can't get your name right. They've very much developed a holistic approach to coaching where they emphasize not just proper technique and injury prevention, but they personalize workout programs to optimize performance and ensure long-term success with their clients on and off the field. Their mission is deeply committed to guiding and motivating clients to surpass their limits and break through barriers. I love this last part, and then we're going to get to it. Jessica's guiding principle is the quote, "When we glow, we grow." We believe that by nurturing our inner light and embracing our strengths, we can continuously evolve and grow as individuals. Clients can always expect to be greeted with a warm smile and uplifting affirmations. Not only will they leave their sessions with her feeling accomplished, but they should also be feeling prepared to feel, They should also be prepared to feel empowered. And I know that was long, but I really wanted to encompass all of that because that is exactly what Jessica is. So I watch her in and out when I drop off my children and I see her hug she gives her clients. I see the bright smiles. She's always like this little ray of sunshine. And so I wanted her to come on today. You guys know that I have three boys, but I am very passionate about working with young girls. I work with them. And also I wanted Jess to come on because as you work with young girls, I see so much stuff that has trickled through later in their life when I'm working with women as they get older. They always tell me, well, as a young girl. So what we want to do, and I know this is one of Jessica's passion, is to stop that dialogue. So when they get to be older, they don't still have all that dialogue of young women. I have nieces, I have best friends that have girls, and I hope everybody really tunes into this episode because it's going to be a good one. All right, let's get started.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited to be here. So I'm really happy that you definitely kind of went into detail when it comes to just like the core values of what I feel I stand for and just the impact that I want to have on not just young women, but all women in general, and people. And I think it's just how we leave people at the end of the day. You can look at a person's career, their aspirations, and the things that they do in life. But ultimately, the main thing that they're going to remember is, were you kind? Were you a good human being?
How'd you treat them?
How you treated them, yes. And I feel like encompassing those things and just becoming a good, solid human being is one of what I call the recipes to success. And when I'm with my young girls, one of the first things I actually go over is just figuring out their hierarchy of needs necessarily. And I feel like we all have our own way that we get to the finish line, and just letting them know and feel empowered in their journey. Because we're not all the same recipe, and we're all going to have different ingredients, and we're all going to taste amazing. So you can't compare apples to oranges. And one of my other favorite things, because you'll probably realize that I am going to be full of analogies and quotes, is comparison is the thief of joy.
So is, right?
Mm-hmm. It really, truly is.
Do you see a lot of the girls comparing themselves?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Social media. The things that we see out there, there's a lot of information and they have a view. And I don't want to compare to my past, because who I was when I was personally younger is a different time and generation to what they're dealing
right,
with now.
Exactly.
And I did not have social media necessarily dictating my every move. I think we were the MSN era, like where we had AOL.
Girl, are you younger than me? But yes.
Is it AOL where we had the instant messengers where we were like.
Yes, I got that in college.
Yes.
It would like beep, beep, beep and take forever. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I feel like there wasn't a lens taking photos of us 24/7, and we were allowed to make mistakes mm-hmm. and it wasn't being
broadcasted.
Yes. Now the girls are very much aware of the world, and they're being conditioned and seeing things a lot premature than they were necessarily, I would say, maybe when I was younger. They're learning a lot faster.
I think we compared too, because I think that's a natural human thing to do, especially among women. But yeah. I don't think our mentality when we were younger made us compare as much as they. I don't think it was thrown upon us as much. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. I agree.
Do you see that? Do you see when they're looking, are they communicating with you? Because it's interesting, guys, like always, especially when my boys go to AK and his fellow trainers, they always open up to them a lot more. So I'm wondering, and when I work with young girls, the parents are like, oh my God, they told you, you know, different aspects. They never open their mouths to me. So I know that you probably hear a lot from them. Are they saying anything about social media to you?
Yes. It's interesting because they do share a lot with me. And I really do appreciate the fact that they feel comfortable and respect me in a way that they feel like they can share their feelings. And I feel like a lot of times, not just being a mentor, but somebody there to guide them, I think we speak sometimes to speak, but not to actually listen. And I think that is something that I try to really encompass and bring to my girls, and just being a good listener. And
yeah, I think it's really hard sometimes. I think as you get older, you want to fix it for them, but really you just need to listen to them first.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure in your head you're like, yeah, I know, but I could do ABC and you can, but they have to have someone to listen.
Correct. So I try to first and foremost be a good listener and just creating a safe space for them, because they're walking in. They're a little weary. Half the time, they're scared to get out of the car. The first time that they come in and see us, their first impression is, I'm a bit intimidated. I'm about to go through a fitness test. I am about to put myself in a position where I am uncomfortable in teaching them about
delayed gratification. In a predominantly male environment. Mm-hmm. If you look in any gym, I mean, it's better now.
Yes.
But you look at any gym, and especially I always say this for my middle school girls and high school girls, they're just, that's a hard environment to walk into.
It is. I will tell you this, when I was younger at the age walking into a gym and discovering fitness for the first time, and what I see them walking in right now is night and day.
Right. I know.
It's very empowering. It's so cool that so many women are just like, yeah, I'm going to go to the gym and I want to be a baddie and I'm going to do all these things and I'm going to aspire and grow. And they embrace that inner sparkle, I like to call it.
Which I do think, you know, social media can be a negative thing, but I think it can be positive because I see a lot of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do Do they say specific things about body image and what they're seeing on social media? Do you think that's a big component of it?
Oh, yeah. I think that there are, it's like a yin to a yang. Uh-huh. So they're seeing these women get in the gym and they're growing and just aspiring. But there is a thing that I really, perfection. Perfectionism okay. is a yep. big deal.
Yep.
And I feel like a lot of our girls now struggle with perfectionism.
Join the club, girl. Yes. I'm just kidding. It's taken a while to work through that one.
Yeah. When we grow, we glow.
Exactly. We're glowing over here. It just took me a while. But I do think they know, like, I think we as older women and mentors and mothers know a little bit more to help guide them through that aspect of yeah. perfectionism. And I will say it's not just girls, it's boys. Mine struggle with perfectionism all the time, I think. And we have lots of conversations of like, we make mistakes. In fact, I was just telling my oldest, Preston, about which Tyler probably really appreciated me telling him this, but he was like, y'all just seem like y'all never got in trouble. I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. Let me just tell you. And a lot of parents don't do this, but I am very open with my kids where I tell them, these are the things we made mistakes too. And I think it opens up a door where they're like, oh, you made mistakes? Like, I can make mistakes too. I don't have to be so perfect. But I do see, whew, the perfectionism is tough.
It's yes, tough. It definitely circles back around to comparing themselves to social okay. media. There is a falsehood because, I mean, we all know this. Social media is 9 out of 10. It's there is filters. There are a lot of things that are an aesthetic and they're creating a feeling, an image, and it gets misconstrued with what is real and what isn't.
So even though they know that it's edited, I work with older women with this too, even though you know it's edited, in your mind, you're still comparing your version of like sweats and no makeup to this edited mm-hmm. supermodel, you know, and I've talked to a lot of people. They're like, wow, I saw that person off social media and they look totally opposite. Mm-hmm. Is that something the girls ever, do they notice that? Do they ever notice peers doing? Do you think they notice peers filtering and doing that? Or do you think it's just so ingrained in how they are right now that it's just what it is?
It's ingrained in society okay. norms, very much so. There is an awareness, but it's just so normal now that mm-hmm. it comes in there every day. In comparison to an extreme of taking a Polaroid, it is what it is. That photo is an unedited, raw version. Mm-hmm. It's very seldom or not that you're going to really even know what is edited and what isn't.
Right.
It's
right.
so realistic, especially mm-hmm. with AI now.
Right. You're like, what is this person?
Yes. You're looking at the photo. I'm like, is that them? You're questioning. I'm like, is that possible? And these are questions that these girls are having.
Are they comparing their bodies to Instagram bodies?
It's more like of an aesthetic now.
These edited bodies.
So I'm going to actually dive into aesthetics. So the girls,
yeah, explain this aesthetics okay. to us, Jess.
I'm still learning, so I'm not a professional.
for the older people out here, please.
So you're gonna hear the girls say, like,
is that their term?
Vanilla girl aesthetic, clean girl aesthetic. These are all different. Very.
What do those mean?
Okay, so the difference between a clean girl uh-huh. is the girl who wakes up at 4 a.m. and she has that green matcha. That smoothie, and she works out and takes the Pilates class. And okay. there is a certain.
Are there kids their age doing that?
They are trying to aspire this, yes.
That's not. How are they going to get up at 4 a.m. to drink a green smoothie and go to Pilates?
This is what they're seeing, and it's a day in the life. It's or those grow with me, and they're seeing these versions and these cuts to a certain aesthetic of a life. And they're trying to follow it, and then they get discouraged when they can't do it perfectly.
Do you know what is my pet peeve is what? Morning routines for people on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm like, y'all, seriously, these morning routines that are 8 hours long, like I'm like herding cats in the morning. Like it's just, I see it with older women and they're mm-hmm. like, why can't we do this 4-hour routine? But I had no idea that teenagers were looking at this.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And they see this and they compare it to living a successful life.
So they're comparing the woman who gets up looks a certain way, which ironically, she could have done that the night before and just filmed it or whatever.
Yes.
She could be lying about it. Let's just be honest truth. Mm-hmm. And even though she's doing that way and looks a certain way, doesn't necessarily mean she's happy. But in their eyes, in a non... And that's another thing I think you did to think about. Mm-hmm. Our kids, the girls are a little bit better than boys, but they don't have a frontal lobe. Mm-hmm. They don't know.
Does it not fully develop? I think is with females, is it approximately, listen, you may know, 25-ish?
The girls are younger. I don't know. But boys are 26. I'm going to be old by the time Red gets a frontal lobe. I mean, I'm going to have lost my frontal lobe by the time they get it. But that's what I'm trying to say. Like, so I had no idea. So you've got the, what'd you call her? The vanilla aesthetics?
Yeah, well, that was clean.
That was clean. That was clean. I'm sorry. All right. What's vanilla? Okay, what's vanilla? Girl. I need to know all this.
So vanilla girl is very similar, but it's more of a more business attire. It's more established. So if you think clean girl, think of like a clean t-shirt. Your hair is slicked back.
It's almost like they're characters in a movie.
Correct. And it's a feeling. It's not even necessarily... you're dressing a certain way, as when we were younger, it was, oh, you're preppy or you're this.
Okay,
now
okay,
it's an
okay.
aesthetic. So you okay. are not just embodying a look, a lifestyle. It's now encompassed. So our young generation is looking at a lifestyle. But what they're not including in this is that this grow with me, this lifestyle that they're creating, and I'm not discounting because...
What does that mean, grow with me? Like, they're watching them? Like what does that mean?
So, it is a saying that you would use. So, say, for example, I'm going to use, like, Instagram or TikTok Reels.
Okay.
Reels or TikTok, and you will find an influencer, somebody that you're inspired by. And
okay.
I'm just going to use anybody, and I don't want to knock at the grow with me or the aesthetic
or the get ready with me.
I
think there's benefits to a lot of it. It's just...
Yeah, I believe that the realist in me is just speaking that
you've been seeing.
Yes. It's like
you're seeing the consequences.
We're not perfect. Yes. Yeah. So it's not cookie cutter. We are all going to wake up in the morning, roll out of bed, break a nail, stub our toe, and we're going to realize we ran out of cat food for our favorite cat.
I think
cat.
I say like 18 cuss words before I make it to the sink. I really do. It's terrible. That's not a morning. But if people laugh at me, they're like, oh, you seem so like zen and stuff. I'm like, yeah, well, it takes me a while to get there. I have to cold plunge a little bit and mm-hmm. but I work with that too. Like this, it is the morning routine seems to get people, and I'm like, but your morning routine doesn't have to. You don't have to get up and meditate for 10 minutes in order to have a successful morning.
No,
I love life's chaos. Like embrace it.
So,
but that's hard for our teens.
What I will tell you is one of the main things that I try to show my girls. And I try to have these conversations, these deep conversations, but also keep it nice and light for them too.
Life's so hard anyway.
It is. And like, honestly, school.
School is so much.
Oh, it's so much on them. And they come
in. So much.
Think of it like your full-time job. You're going to work and you just worked a 10-hour shift. And you dealt with maybe a bad coworker. And you didn't eat the best food. You shoved it down your throat. You had a bunch of tests or AKA presentations. And then you go home. And then the first thing you get after you're just like exhausted and you just want to relax is, so how was your day? And of course they don't want to talk about it.
Mine, boys are different too, but they call school prison. And mm-hmm. I laugh at it every day because I'm like, dude, I totally agree with you, but you got to go.
Yeah.
But they come in and unload they're different. They like word vomit everything. And I think sometimes girls can like pull, I know with my niece, like she can kind of like pull back a little bit. I think they need time to like process what they've just had to do all day.
I will tell you this, Brady, and I have to commend you. You've created a really safe space for your children.
Oh,
and
thank you. That means a lot.
Yes. The fact that your children are able to unpack on you is because you have created that really comfortable, safe space for them to actually grow and just share their adversities and what they're dealing with and understanding themselves, but not feeling like they're being
judged.
Picked apart.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Well, thank you. We work really hard on that. But that's also too, like, and I say this is why I think it's so important to have a mentor outside of parents. When mine go to Limit Lifters, if they've been having something, I shoot AK, Wojez, Parker, whoever, mm-hmm. a text. And they're able to talk to them. And that's why I think it's so important. Whether we're, like you said, whatever it is, mm-hmm. I think y'all are younger and you're a lot cooler than us parents. And so they like find a safe space. I don't care what safe, the kids, all of them need a safe space. Mm-hmm. And for these girls, I mean, I just don't know. It's just so complex, I think. With the social media. And, you know, a lot of people are like, do I give my kids social media? Do I not? But then they get left. It's just so hard. And I think having someone like you involved to say, it's not perfect. This mm-mm. is me too. And I do think, do you think they're seeing, I do this with my boys all the time because they give me recipes on Instagram or they give me information mm-hmm. from people that have no background at all. I'm like, oh, that's great. Did they go to school for anything? I'm glad you're listening to them, but whatever. Do you think the girls are seeing like nutrition trends on social media?
100%.
Okay. What trends do you see? Like, I didn't even know about this clean aesthetic and all this. This is fascinating to me. I'm sure maybe moms of girls listening know, but maybe some of you don't.
It's interesting because I actually, it's a catch-22 because I look at, well, number one, disorders, eating disorders.
Yes.
And lack of knowledge of what is an eating disorder.
Right. I tell people all the time, I'm like, you do realize that's like dysmorphia, like that's not good. Yes. Like you should just not like not ever want to eat a certain food mm-hmm. ever again in your entire existence.
So the issues I find, and I'll tell you ways that I can compromise with this. So I will get my young girls and they'll come in and the first thing I'll be like, tell me about your day. Mm-hmm. Tell me the drama. I'll be like, what was the plot?
Do they have drama?
Oh, yes, they
like,
do.
My mom's a girl's. I'm like, what's happened today? Because, you know, the boys are like, I beat someone up and then called it a day. I'm just kidding. They really didn't. But some days I do. But, you know, like,
oh my girls,
I don't have any drama. I don't have the tea. Is that still a word?
I'll be like, okay. They'll enter. I'll be like, you know what I'm going to ask you. And they're going to be like, what is it, Coach Jessica? I'll be like, I need to know the tea. I mean, right. I need a piping hot cup of tea. And I need to know what is going on in your life. Tell me the drama, whether it's good or bad. I want to know the tea. And I'm just
and do they give it to you?
Oh, yes. They good hot piping hot tea. Some of it is, you know, like who's fighting, who's doing this, who's doing that. But I try to navigate away from, tell me about your homework.
Or, right.
How was practice?
Or, I always ask my kids, I'm like, what'd you eat for lunch? Even when I pack their lunch so they just get some off. It's mm-hmm. just a random question.
Yeah, so I always want to find out, like, those little small details. I'm like, what's the plot? Like, tell me what happened at school. And using some of the language.
Because you have trained middle school and
high school. And college.
Does it get, for the moms out there, I've heard so much about middle school, like, stuff, and they're like, please tell me it gets some better. Does it get some better with the drama as they get older?
So, yes. Yes and no. I think that there's going to be adversities and that they face no matter where they are in life.
Yep.
But I think the main thing, and one of the reasons why I ask them, what's the drama? What's happening? I want to see how it affects them.
I think that's so brilliant.
So, I want to see...
Because if parents ask them, they're like, oh, no, Mom. And they shut down.
Correct. So I want to see how they affect them. And one of the main things I found with my girls, especially the ones that are disciplined and have really worked on not the instant gratification, but actually the longevity of having building up to long-term gratification and not getting that dopamine hit and not getting those endorphin highs that come from instant pleasure in being able to take the shortcut. But the ones have taken the high road and have worked really hard, they struggle with watching others who haven't done it.
Yes.
And they ask me, Coach Jessica, why are they this way?
Yes.
And why can't they do these things? And why is that person being a bully? Yeah. Why is that person talking
bad? I found that they don't understand. They have a lot of whys. And then how do you answer that?
I'm like, especially when it comes to someone being mean to them mm-hmm. or projecting on them has nothing to do with who they are. And I try to explain to them and give them a reality, because they're still, think of their frontal lobe.
It's still not there, man.
Still not there. I explain it like this. When you're a baby, you can only see so many inches in front of you. And as you grow and as you get older, that peripheral vision is going to increase and it's going to get larger. So your circumference of life and your view of things is going to get bigger and bigger. And as you start seeing and viewing people not doing the things that maybe you've worked really hard to obtain, it has nothing to do with you, but it has to do with how far they can see ahead.
Right. Right.
And a lot of times their struggles are their struggles and they're projecting it on you. And it has nothing to do with you or the things that you've done. They're just struggling and they don't have maybe a support system. So I challenge you to be nice to that person.
That's such good advice.
I challenge you to look at maybe the things they're struggling with and be a critical thinker. Yeah. And do they have good friendships? Who are they talking to? And are they mostly negative? I'm like, if it's a lot of negativity, there's probably a lot of negativity that's surrounding them. So mm-hmm. maybe be that kindness. Yeah. Disrupt their pattern.
Yep.
And a lot of times they're like, huh, okay.
Which is such a great life skill, because I always tell people, I'm like, even, and it's so interesting that you're saying this about the younger girls, because when I work with adult women, they have the same. It's so interesting with wellness. Like, you think it's just about nutrition and physical activity. You know, it gets really so much deeper. Mm-hmm. But they have the same concerns too. And I'm always like, you know, just remove yourself if it gets. I'm big on like protect your energy thing, but also, it doesn't hurt for you to just put a smile on and be like, it. I also try to really, really teach mine and others that what they think of you doesn't matter, but it's mm-hmm. so difficult for, I just had this conversation with a friend of mine who's a psychologist. She said, Brady, you have to understand it is so difficult for teenagers to understand that, because they get everything, their self-esteem, everything from peers, mm-hmm. while we are like, what in the world? But in that brain span, it's all about their peers, all mm-hmm. about their peers. And she said, like, keep doing the things that like you are doing. You got to keep saying that. But it's interesting because you're younger. That's where I think y'all's like little just amazing just places, because
power seeds, I call them.
They almost see you as a peer. Almost.
They do.
You know?
Oh my gosh, I have a story for you. So I have one of my young ones who, oh gosh, anybody born 2011 and up, I have my young one. And she's like, Coach Jessica, if you were born in the late 90s, you are so old. And I'm just
so
like,
old.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
My kids asked me if we had black and white television when I was born. I was like, do I look that old to you?
And I'm just like, oh, Lord, if you do. And they're like, right, Coach Jessica? And I'm like, oh,
right.
I'm so young. I'm like, you know what? But their perception, and I remember when I was that age, when I was in middle school, I mean, being 16 was so old.
I agree.
And I'm like, I have to put myself in their point of view. And I'm like, you know what? I am going to validate you, because it is true. Where you are right now, you only know the age and where you are, mm-hmm. and I'm going to meet you where you are.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to push you past a point where you have not progressed. So I'm like, yes, you know what? That is older for you, and your perception is valid. But I think that the main thing, and you were talking about psychology, your one friend who's in psychology, yeah. correct?
Yep.
So Maslow hierarchy of needs.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Let me just tell you, I am a little ninja and I like to use it to my advantage. And I literally say you can mix the Maslow's hierarchy of needs in different ways. Like once you get to the top of your needs, it really depends on the person and what their needs are. So for example, self-actualization might be not a greater thing than your self-esteem. Okay. So some people are fueled by different variations of it. But the main thing for the young ones is love and belonging.
Isn't that what it is for everybody?
Yeah. And I literally have it. I took a little note and I wanted to make sure I brought this up to you. But their friendship, families, intimacy, sense of connection.
Wherever they're going to get, they just have to have the love component.
Yes. And without the disconnect of that, these kids don't feel seen.
They don't feel seen.
So think of family. So, for example, we were talking about their eating habits, young girls' eating habits. So I'm going to circle back around to that.
Yeah, let's go back to that because I think that's such a, you know, obviously that's my jam.
So I personally feel, and this is my opinion, that a lot of these things are habits that are brought up. The first thing they see is your parents.
Absolutely.
You are their role model.
Absolutely.
You set the tone and you set the boundaries of what that kid is going to see. So maybe it is what they're making sure they're eating a balanced breakfast and making sure they're eating a balanced dinner. There is no reason why they should be eating a granola bar for dinner.
Well, and also I tell people when they're like, hey, my kid won't eat this. And I'm like, listen, here's where I'm going to start. I'm going to start, like when I meet with families, I'm like, mm-hmm. We're going to start with you.
Correct.
We're going to start with the parents. Like, listen, we're not even going to mess with the kid right now. We are going to start with you because they see you and they, mm-hmm. and listen, like, obviously if you've listened to me, I am massive. And Jessica's like this. I know I'm big on flexibility mm-hmm. and like living a life that's like 80-20, but what mm-hmm. does that look like? I feel like nowadays people are like, I live an 80-20 life and it's really more like 40-60 in wellness, you know, just because of how we are. But I know without a doubt the parents and especially the mother. I know I don't want to put more on us moms, but it is the truth. I've seen it over and over again. How you eat, how you live your life,
yes.
your kids will follow. This doesn't matter if you have a boy. It doesn't matter if you have a girl.
Correct.
They look at the mother and what she's doing.
Yes. Agreed.
They do.
So what you're doing at home was the main thing that I really feel encompasses really the foundation. So you have to think you're building a house right now. Just like I use the ingredients to success. So you have ingredients to live a healthy, fruitful life. I think that having good mental health, I think it's really, I advocate therapy.
Me too.
I advocate.
The world would be a better place if people just would focus on themselves and and get yourself right. And then it would, we have so much anger in this world right now. So much anger.
And I think that one of the things, and I mean, obviously I'm throwing a lot of my perspectives here, but the world has a lot of things that are happening right now. And I'm going to be honest, our women, one of the main things I've told you I was going to chat and ask a few questions with some of my girls and some of the things, the adversities that they're facing. And one of the first things that really stood out and one of the main things, and it was brought up twice, was awareness of how unsafe it is in the world for them. And
interesting. And what capacity? Meaning just like
going on a run, going on a walk.
Yep.
Just, for example,
I mean, do you feel safe when you run and walk sometimes? I mean, I'm always aware of my surroundings.
I'm going to be honest. No.
I mean, at any moment, it's just, it's tough. And now I did not think about this when I was their age, nor college, nor I probably could have died 800 times. I'm just going to be honest with you. But now I feel like they think about this.
All the time. They think about it all the time.
Which heightens their anxiety.
Correct. And they think about how unsafe it is to do the things.
Do you think they're hearing this? Do you think they're just more connected to the news, the social media aspect?
All the above.
Okay.
All the above because really, truly, I mean, if you think about it, I'm just being real on a woman level. When was the first time you were catcalled?
Oh my gosh. It's my pet peeve in life. I'm like, do you think I'm going to go over there and like go out with you or something now? I'm just mm-hmm. trying to run or make, I mean, how many times have you gotten crude comments about your body when you're running? It's a lot.
Yes. So even just existing, whether you're in a pair of baggy pants or you're in, you know, a pair of leggings, it's just, how am I going to be viewed? And the perception of how you're being viewed and is it safe?
Do you find it like, I had this situation when I was shopping it was like at Dick's. And I had come from yoga and I was in leggings and this man said something very crude to me. And then I had people say, well, maybe you shouldn't wear leggings out on your thing. And I was like, really? Really? Mm-hmm. But I always remember that. And I think the girls are seeing that at such a younger level because I think that people are very, I don't know what it is. I think they're very open about their opinions
yes.
now. yes. to you is what I'm meaning. Like to yes. you, I think people say stuff more.
Very much so.
Do you feel that way?
I think that's
weird.
Now with we live in a society now where everything is so easily accessible,
mm-hmm.
and with even with the internet, you can post your opinion yeah. and have it be completely yeah. Unknown.
Right.
A mystery account and expression.
Right.
And I will tell you, like, so, you know, with social media, I have social media, my husband has social media, and as we're posting and, you know, we have our business and stuff yes. like that, and we want to aspire, and I have to be really key thinking that what am I posting and how might the effect have on somebody?
Yes, you're forward thinking on it.
Yes, I really want to either bring some form of inspiration and try to inspire, but you're always going to have some sort of slack or hate. There's always going to be somebody out there who doesn't yes. like oranges, and you might post an apple.
But I've heard that many times.
Or they apples to oranges, real, or you know what I mean.
They get real upset when you post certain things around nutrition.
Yes, or they have a feeling or an opinion, and just because you have an opinion on something, I'm not going to discredit that person's opinion.
I think everybody's allowed to their opinion.
Yes, but it's just how we present. I feel as though we have kind of lost a disconnect of how to have a respectable conversation and disagree.
And disagree. We don't know how to disagree anymore.
Or being okay with somebody having a different belief system or a thought process.
Right.
And embracing that, you know, they do have some valid points, and being open to growth and being open to a person's perspective. And that's how growth happens. And I always challenge my girls. I give them side quests, I call it.
That's amazing. I love this.
I'm like, I'm going to give you a side quest. And they'll be like, oh.
They're like, what is that?
And I will challenge them to something difficult that they're struggling with.
Like what? Give us some examples.
An example would be something that makes them uncomfortable.
Okay.
Or something that has not necessarily been a trigger, but uh-huh. I think of it like this. So, for example, if running bothers you okay. and you have a fear of running or doing a certain thing or uh-huh. jumping, I'm going to keep it super simplistic. I'm going to challenge you to just go on a walk.
Okay.
A lot of fear in the things that we're placing upon us, like, it cripples us to the point where we won't even move.
Yes. And do you see that with the girls with the fear and anxiety?
Yes. To the point of where it's a mental game.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do certain things, or they have been conditioned, or they went through an experience
right.
that has created a trauma that makes them want to avoid it altogether. Okay. And I like to say, I'm like, okay, well, we have that experience and we have that bad scenario that happened. How long did it take for that bad scenario to happen? 5 minutes?
Right.
And that 5 minutes is going to dictate the rest of your life.
It's such a hard concept for them to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when they have people like you saying it to them over and over, it gives them a different perspective of mm-hmm. things. Like you always say, like you were just saying, it opens a different door.
Mm-hmm.
What else do your girls say besides being unsafe that mm-hmm. brings them anxiety? Do they say anything else? Any other things that you heard, like a common
balancing
theme?
Balancing life.
Balancing life.
Balancing life and feeling like they can accomplish all the things, all the pressures.
I would like to say, I have this conversation so many times, and I know people have different opinions on it with women, but I feel like we give our young girls such this skewed view of what their life should be. Like, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying like, go girls, we can do anything. You just can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like every friend I've talked to is either suffering because they're trying to do 1,000 different things, be the best mom they can be. And I think it starts when they're young. I think girls have this deep within them nurturing, like we were saying mm-hmm. earlier before we went on air, and they have this desire to do all the things, right? Which is amazing.
Spicy.
Which is amazing. We want to do all the things, right?
Sprinkle, sprinkle. We want to do all the things. And we could, at some point, really focus on one goal at a time. But it's one goal at a time.
They don't want to do one. I know. And I'm guilty of this too. I'm like, let me have 18 goals. It's great.
I'm not going to lie. If I were to, and I'm going to be real with you, yeah. I am all about the vision boards and creating the vibes.
Like manifesting. Yes. All the woo-woo stuff. My friends have made fun of me for years for being so woo-woo. I love it. I don't care.
I did it when I was younger. I used to get a magazine and yes. I would cut out pictures in a magazine. And I would glue them to a board. And I was like, I am so cool.
That is what I'm going to be.
Then you have your Pinterest board, and then now you can create like collages with like, you know, Canva or like those applications.
See, anything on an app I can't do anymore, Jessica. Oh, I just can't do it. I'm terrible.
I'll show you the ways.
Can you do it for me?
Bring you to the dark side. But what I try to show the girls is like, yes, it's an energy. We can create this vibe, but I want them to be realistic about their goals because it's one step at a time, and you can't be like focusing on this big mountain when you've only taken one step.
A bite at a time.
That pressure is going to cripple them. And that kind of goes back to the thing I showed you about running. So maybe yes. running is really difficult and they want to run 3 miles and they've never ran 3 miles in their life. And they're telling themselves, I can't do this. And then all of a sudden they ran for 1 minute and they're like, wait a second.
They have a little success.
I had a small breakthrough. Maybe mm-hmm. I can run. I was like, I never thought that I could do this thing before. And it's just showing them, I'd be like, you know, you can do difficult things, right?
Right. I think it's so hard for people to get uncomfortable. And even our kids have been, and I've dug into this a lot on podcasts, but we tend to pave the way for our kids or my generation as parents have. I do not. And I will tell you this is the worst thing in the world to watch your kids suffer. It yes. really is. So I get these parents who are like, want to take them out of all the hard things. It's just the hard things are what makes amazing adults.
So let me ask you this. Since we're on the subject about this, what are some things that you feel, especially with dealing with young girls as well? Like, what are some key things that you run across when you are, you know, sitting down with them? I know that you speak to maybe the mother or the father mm-hmm. about their habits and stuff. But what are some things that you're finding young women are dealing with, especially when it comes to like a healthy lifestyle, nutrition?
They want to be as skinny as they can possibly be. Mm-hmm. That's the number one. I've had this was before like Ozempic and stuff came out, but you know, those like those teas you could drink, the skinny teas and yep. stuff. And there's a lot of stuff being marketed out there. Someone just told me about this a couple weeks ago. It's like this drink, and it's marketed as vitamins, but it's got a ton of caffeine in it. So it's a weight loss drink. Kids are using things like that. The girls, they're telling me things that they are doing that their parents have no clue that they are doing.
Correct.
To lose weight. I don't know if you hear that. Did they?
They tell me all the things.
And it scares the crap out of me when they say it, because I'm like, the fact that they're consuming this amount of caffeine, the fact that they're skipping meals, the fact that they're starving, the fact that they've seen, and I'm not going to get off on the Ozempic and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but I think they're seeing that. I've got college girls on it, mm-hmm. you know? And so, and while I'm like, that's inevitable, that's going to be something we have to work around. Can I help you build these habits while you're on? But that's not going to, they don't need to be, they're 20.
Yeah.
You know, but the whole thing I'm seeing is this obsession to look a certain way mm-hmm. and these habits of not eating enough food, don't even think about protein, not eating breakfast ever. It's the lack of understanding the importance of nutrition mm-hmm. and how they need to fuel their bodies. And I keep trying to explain to them, you have cycles, you have this, and it's... They're doing a lot of stuff that I think parents are not aware of that mm-hmm. they're doing, that they're seeing, that they might be more open to me or you about. Correct. I don't know if you're seeing that. And very the things they're so. Doing scare the crap out of me, to be honest with you.
It's almost like you get a hold of one child and you're working with that one child, but you're looking at the face of a generation.
Yes. Yes. That's such a good way of saying it. Because that one child is all of them.
Yes.
It's all of them.
And I'm not saying that their habits dictate everybody's.
No.
But there is a generalization that you see a common theme. And you can see it in the masses, too. Because if you are on social media, there is an awareness to what they're doing and how they're doing it. And
the ads they see a lot of ads from there. That's what I get a lot, you know.
And the smart technology of like what things that they're advertising that are popping up on their stories when they view certain videos. Yes. And that is something subconsciously that goes through our brains. And I think nobody really touches on the effect of instant gratification, what watching these videos and getting these little snippets of highs from social media, that dopamine hit, the
so real,
the endorphins, and what it does to these children and ourselves
and
too.
Have you ever been that? I'm like on a real kick. I usually try not to go on social media during the week, but like it's like my thing because I really do. I really am like this anti-technology person lately, which is not good. But I try not to go on social media a lot, but like my main thing is Instagram. Is like my sister sends me like 800 reels and they're hilarious. And then I get so stuck funny. On them. I know. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's 10:30 and I'm so silly. You know, I have to give myself a bedtime because I'll stay up forever. Yeah. But I usually read and stuff, but sometimes I'll get stuck on these reels and I'm like, no wonder these kids, I actually have a break, but what if you just constantly...
It's messing with our brain chemistry, and it
totally is messing
creating
with our brain
a chemical balance that is a feel-good sensation, and it's almost in a way taking away from us acknowledging how we really feel. It's like almost like a drug, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And it's masking a person's acknowledgement of these short-term dopamine hits from watching videos and being and scrolling for hours is deterring you from pursuing your long-term goals. And it's going to make you feel not good about yourself to derail off that path and then say like, well, I don't have enough time and make excuses.
That's my favorite. I am doing a podcast actually in the next couple of weeks. And I just looked at the sticky note on my, and it says distraction is an easy way to knock people off their game. Oof. I wrote that down the other day because I was like, I want that to be a topic. Distraction's an easy way to knock people off their game. It's just we are living in a world of distraction, and these kids have so many distractions. And it is, you're right, it's the instant. But hey, this is not to knock the Ozempics down, but the reason why I'm not talking about the people who need them, so don't come at me with this one. But
yeah,
because it's fast. It's fast, and it's hella fast. And so you don't have to think. And in a way, I understand my women because I can't tell you how many times they come in and they said, Brady, I'm so sick of thinking about this.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of thinking about this. I think I'm going to take this drug because I know it'll work and I'm so sick of thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, ma'am, whatever you do you, but we still have to deal with all this other stuff unless you want to be on it for the rest of your life. It's because it's fast. And weight loss and health is not fast.
No.
If you do it right, it's not supposed to be fast. Same with my kids. Like, I want to get this way. It takes time.
It's a journey. And honestly, like, I think one of the things that, and I don't want to say that we're doing a disservice to our children, but, like, I really truly feel that a lot of the things that are happening now, we have given up on a lot of our dreams. We're living in a time where our grocery prices are super high.
Girl, you ain't lying. This guy looked at me. He said, girl, who are you feeding? And I'm like, myself and four boys.
Our mortgage is expensive. Rent is expensive.
Everything.
Gas is expensive. Everything. We are working. I can't touch on certain topics without addressing the elephant in the room, that we live in a time where everything is extremely hard to attain all these different things. We're going into debt over, you know, obtaining certain things or keeping up with the Joneses, I would like
to call it.
Absolutely. And then on top of that, are now having to pay this. We have either one parent or two parents in a household working extremely hard and not being able to be present in their child's life. And then, you know, they're being put a iPad in front of them. I'm not kicking on iPads, but I think that everything in moderation is good, but gluttony in a certain aspect of life is bad.
I think we've forgotten what the word moderation means.
Correct. And they're adapting to using it as a form of, you know, self-medicating to, like, if you need to work on a job or something and your child is, you know, learning and growing and wants to get into everything, is curious, and you stick it in front of an iPad, that kid is going to stop and look at it.
Absolutely. I stop and look at it. I'm like, what is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff
this
on there.
I mean, this is fascinating.
I know, because I mean, I personally, like, I do fall down my TikTok
And everybody does. And that's one of the things that
Mount
I think is
Everest of TikTok.
I think that's something that is important to tell the teens, too. You're like, I've done this, too.
Yeah.
They do watch what you have in your hand, guys.
Yes.
Like, they do watch it. They watch how much you're on it.
Mm-hmm.
They watch. I was texting someone at a stoplight in Preston who just got his driver's license, told me, or his permit, told me that was illegal. I had no idea that was illegal to text while I was at a stoplight.
Your children will tell me, like, if you were gossiping about other people.
Do they?
They will tell, your tea is my tea.
Oh, good. I'm so,
your children are angels. They're so good.
that's funny.
They're
Jessica.
Awesome.
But
I love
do the
your
girls say stuff to you.
They will vent. Not every session is, but like they will bring up things that they're struggling with their parents about.
Yeah.
If you guys are fighting, what you're fighting about, and if they feel unseen or unheard, and they will bring certain things up. And there are certain points where I have to look at is this something that is like going to affect their health?
Right, right, right.
Or because
are they just being a teenager?
As a mentor, are they just unpacking, or is this something that is, you know, in a place like not good mentally for them and I need to have a conversation? But there's, you know, that privacy clause of
yes,
just
absolutely.
Making them feel safe and seen and heard. But then there's also, well, if you are in an unstable place, there is a point where I will tell them, I have to talk to your parents.
Yes. Which I think is so great. Because you know what? I also think that some parents are so disconnected. They and let me just say this. I'm not saying, first of all, I would never say I know everything. I know nothing as a parent. But I will tell you, I try my ass off as a parent, and that's what I do.
Yeah.
But I do think that sometimes they don't even know what's going on. It's this mm-hmm. disconnect. Because like you said, you're trying to do this. You're in your parents' defense. You're doing 8,000 things. You're trying to pay the mortgage. You're trying to do all the things. And it's just like you said, it's the elephant in the room of where we are as a society that is going way off of what we were supposed to be talking about. But I do think it's important of what these kids are dealing with.
Yes. And it all plays a part, because if the parents can't afford healthy groceries or even
right.
to feed them properly, and it's cheaper to buy fast food than it is to...
Or they just don't have the emotional girth
mm-hmm.
to do one more thing.
Yes.
That's what I hear a lot. Brady, too tired to cook. I'm too tired. But then it is funny. I do challenge my people because I'm like, let me see your phone. Let me see it. How much time did you spend on it?
Oh, you want to look at their mm-hmm. their scroll history.
I look at their screen time, girl,
oh
and I'm
God.
Like, we got 4 hours. I think we can do something there. And they laugh. I never
yeah.
do things in a judgy way, so I think they're pretty okay with it. But I'm
yeah.
like, I think it's good to get called out on some things, too. Rest assured, my kids call me
mm-hmm.
out on a lot of stuff. What are you seeing with eating habits? Let's dig about the eating habits a little bit.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so...
That's a loaded gun.
So I will tell you, some of my children are so good about eating breakfast.
That's great.
And eating
yeah.
lunch and having dinner.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that those are typically the ones who I've communicated with their parents, and mm-hmm. their parents are, they will cook them breakfast
yeah.
and
yeah.
make certain food for them or teach them how to cook in the
Which
kitchen.
Which I think is so empowering. I don't know where...
The kid loves to cook. Usually those kids are the ones that like to cook.
Whether you're female or male, I know we're getting this thing where they're like, people don't want women in the kitchen, whatever. I think that's a bunch of BS. But like, my boys cook. In fact, Crane Godfrey will probably be a chef because he loves every
chef's kid.
Can't you just see Crane just being
I
a
could.
Chef somewhere random?
Oh my gosh, I could actually.
He'd be like the random chef. But
he would be. Like, sorry, I just like a side quest. It's just like Crane the chef.
If you could ever get him through school, he might be the chef. All right, so, but it empowers them.
Yes. So those small victories, I will tell you something. It is such an empowering thing for these kids if they're like, you know what? I'm going to cook myself something
yes.
and I'm going to cook. My parents said that I'm allowed to cook on this day and I get to choose the food and I get to, they're going to be my sous chef and they're going to help me prepare the dish.
Girl, being their sous chef gives me anxiety, but I do it. I do
it's,
it.
It's
I'm
hard
because
like, you have to bite your tongue
you
and
do.
Allow them
you
to
do.
Be creative
you do.
And figure things out.
And you have to be okay with your kitchen being a hot freaking mess.
But then it works. Safely guiding them to clean and maybe like, hey, would you like any suggestions? I'm very big on saying, would you like me to listen or would you like some advice?
That's a great way to put it.
I will tell you this. I always ask them.
You're asking permission.
I ask my girls permission if I can give advice.
I think that is fair. I think I do that with my kids now because at first I wanted to like, rah, 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 but I learned that doesn't work. So I'll say, okay, do you want my advice on this situation or do you just want to figure it out?
Mm-hmm.
Just depends, you know, but I think that is a beautiful statement.
It's so freeing.
It is freeing.
You should see their faces light up. It's just to just be like, no, I just want you to listen.
Yes.
And they're like, can you just listen? And I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. They're like, it's okay. Is it really okay? Like, I've literally had my girls stop and be like, you for real? Like, it's just okay for you to just listen? Like,
and not give you your opinion.
And I'm like,
they get so many opinions, so many places. No,
like, I just want to hear everything you have to say. Like, everything. I'm like, yes.
That's so amazing. How amazing is that, that those girls have you? So what do you see they struggle with the most with
when
eating?
When it comes to eating, we're going to reel it back in.
We're going to reel it back in.
Well, I have nothing against going out and having, like, you know, fast food.
Yeah, yeah. We really eat out here and there.
I will tell you that Panera Bread and Chick-fil-A are the holy grail.
Really? My kids freaking love Moe's. They know us at Moe's.
I think it's
they
just a popular spot for them right now. The girls, specifically. The girls,
my boys don't really like Chick-fil-A that much, but they love some Moe's.
They love their grilled cheese sandwiches.
Really?
Oh, they
no
love
protein. There's just nothing.
They just want a good grilled cheese sandwich. Cheese.
I know. And when they say that to me, I'm like, okay, can we put a side of some chicken with it?
Right. Oh, they want Chick-fil-A. And they want, these are the main places usually, like when I ask them, what are you going to do? Like, we're going to go hang out at Panera Bread. And I'm
right.
Like, okay, perfect.
That's I do see a lot of girls at Panera.
They like to study there.
I know. I'll see them going in. Meanwhile, my kids are like, what? Study? The study at Panera Bread?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they love a good study session at Panera Bread.
I know. Isn't that amazing? I just laugh so hard, the difference between the boys and girls. I'm like, wait, y'all go somewhere to study?
It's very cool.
That's amazing. My kids asked me to study geography, and I'm terrible at geography.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, why? I'm going to suggest going to Panera.
They can go to Adekunle for that.
I'm going to be like, can y'all go to Panera for your study session? So you see them eating. You see them want. And I do think as they get into teens, eating is a social thing as well.
Correct. Yes.
But do you see the girls, do they struggle with... Do they struggle with eating certain things and guilt and shame around eating certain things? Do you see any of that? Or do you think they're so like active and stuff? They're just like when I was in high school, I don't know if anybody's from Columbia, but I ate Rush's cheeseburger baskets all the time. Mm-hmm. I still had all the healthy stuff too my mom made, but I ate so much food.
I'm going to be honest. I can tell you exactly. You know when you were younger and you tried to sneak out of the house?
Yeah.
And your mom just always knew to stay up late.
Uh-huh, always.
And you were just like, how did she know? Like, how did she know? And then you make it out. And then she'll be sitting there on the couch. And you're just like, oh my gosh, how did she know? It's the same thing with eating. Because when I am listening to the girls, they don't want to openly tell you certain things. Whether or not they're... Some of them, either A, they truly don't remember to eat.
Okay.
Or they're purposely avoiding food.
Okay.
Because they're starving themselves. It's just eating disorders. It's just more of they think that there's a big influx. And I can see it with the boys, too, about abs.
Oh, my God. What the hell is with the abs? I can't. If I have to look at one more of my children's stomach muscles, I might, like, I'm going to have to talk to AK about this. I need them to not have to look at their stomach muscles anymore. They love their stomach muscles.
It's their abs. They're very, very big on.
They don't care about, like, their booties and their butts. I feel like that's a massive thing right now.
No, it's more abs. Like, they're
so interesting. Probably because everything's a midriff now.
It's a very midriff, like, because low rise is coming back, if you remember.
I love me some low rides.
I do too, but...
It's not as good on the abs.
It's just, you know, those belly shirts. And
those
like
hip hugger jeans.
Mm-hmm. And they want to be ripped.
Okay. So ripped is a big thing.
Yeah,
so
it's not just for boys. They want a nice, tight, ripped core.
Do they say that to you, Jessica? I want my abs to be ripped.
They want abs. They want to see the little lines. They're like, ooh, my abs are, what is it? My abs are abbing.
That's what they say. That's funny.
My abs are abbing, Coach Jessica. And then they'll be like, I have a little line. And then I'll be like, oh, okay, we're abbing today.
Do you turn it on them at all when they start to identify body parts? Do you turn it and say things like, okay, let's focus on being strong?
Yes. So,
so you try to turn them mentally. I'll be like,
okay.
I mean, I know they're going to, we all do some of that, right? We all want to ab our abs or whatever they said.
But I will be like, okay, well, do you understand? In order to, you know, have your abs ab properly, you have to make sure you're eating a balanced diet and teaching them how, you know.
We can't starve ourselves to get abs.
They think starving is getting abs.
Really?
They have a lot of, well, you have to think too, they're going through a process of between the ages of 10 to, you know, 16, 18 years old, they're gaining weight.
They are gaining weight.
Their body's changing.
And the boys struggle with that too. We struggle with that in our household. Like, and then it clicks one day and they're not. they're these different beings that you don't even know.
And
but with the girls, don't you feel like, yeah.
Body dysmorphia.
I see that a lot.
And they look at themselves and they see, well, my pants don't fit. Well, those pants, you wore them when you were 11.
Oh, their hips have to get 16. Bigger. Everything has to get bigger, right?
And they think that a number on a scale is going to define.
Okay, that was another question. Do the girls dictated by the scale as much as our generation?
They still do the scale.
Okay.
The scale is still a thing. I feel like there's a lot more body positivity, a lot of body empowerment where they definitely embrace their bodies a lot more, or maybe their niches, like for example, art or being creative. Okay. I think that's really now more socially acceptable to be creative.
Right, right.
In comparison to maybe back when I was younger, it was just like, oh, you like theater.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'd be like, what's wrong with theater? They're like, okay.
I've been trying to get Preston to go into theater forever, and he will not. It makes me so mad.
My highlight was being in Cats the Musical.
He said absolutely not. He told his guidance counselor that last week. I was like, okay, I try to.
Well, I try to explain to the kids that at the end of the day, when it comes to what they're eating and what they're consuming, it's really about how they feel. Are they feeling good?
Yes.
And their happiness, their overall joy. Because if I brought my backpack in here, if I opened up my backpack, you're going to find yogurt-covered raisins. You're going to find granola bars. You're going to find gluten-free bars in there. For my gluten-free kids. I have rice cakes. I have like all sorts of little snackies.
Yeah, so they can grab something if they need something.
And they will come in and be like, Coach Jessica, I forgot to eat today.
So they just didn't eat.
They didn't eat. And it's already.
So then they're going to work out.
It's 5 p.m.
And they have no fuel.
And they
5 p.m. and they hadn't eaten all day.
Mm-hmm. Well, they drink a Celsius. That's coffee's food for them.
Right.
Celsius.
So why?
They're like a bean. Crazy. It's a bean. It's a coffee bean. No.
I know. What is it? What is it? It's these drinks. They're driving me nuts. But then they really don't have an appetite because it really does, it blunts your appetite.
Correct. And it advertises you lose, you know.
Absolutely.
Lose 10
and
pounds.
You see a lot of fitness influencers drinking Celsius.
I'm going to be honest with you. I used to drink Celsius.
Oh my gosh. Aren't you kidding?
I'm going to be open, honest, and transparent.
I think it's great.
I drank Celsius when I was a flight attendant. Before I started working, me and my husband and our business, I flew for a mainline airline, American Airlines, and I was working all chaotic hours.
Right.
And I didn't always want to drink coffee.
Right. So you would have Celsius.
I would grab Celsius, and it was just so easily accessible. And I started to feel pain in my stomach.
I was going to say, did it make you feel okay?
I was getting sharp pains in my right side, I think, mostly when I started drinking it. And then I was like, why am I getting these weird phantom pains? And I stopped drinking it, and they went away.
Well, you know, when I was about...
You probably know more of why.
Back in the day when I first started working, I was working I was doing corporate wellness. And it was a shift, so I had to be there to do fitness assessments and all this stuff, and I had to be there at 4:45, I think. Anyways, so I had a major coffee, and then I would go, I would work the rest of the day. I mean, I was like 23 or something. Yeah. So I like worked all the time. And I drank so much coffee, like my heart went nuts. So I had to stop. I haven't touched caffeine since then. I've been off caffeine
for
like 20 years. But not that I have against caffeine at all.
Nothing.
I just drank it all the time. And
as I have a cup of coffee in front of me right now. I'm like,
that's all right. I like coffee. I drink decaf coffee all the time, like an old person. I'm like, excuse me, do you have decaf? And they're like, why are you even drinking it? I'm like, I had an addiction problem to coffee in my 20s. But okay, so you're seeing that's exactly what I'm seeing too.
I felt it. I became in tune with my body, and it's like if you focus on your mental health, your well-being, and you nurture and you start feeding yourself, your body's going to tell you.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you're trying to make this connection with them, because I'm trying to make it. I try to make the connection with my women. Let's like look and see how we feel. Do you see, are they counting calories?
They have not mentioned calorie counting to me.
Okay, that's good.
They don't mention calorie counting to me because, honestly, they're giving too much away if they're doing that. If I could ask them, I'll come back here and I'll ask you. I'll tell you. I'll be like, they'll shed the tea. They'll tell me. I haven't physically come up and said, are you doing this? Like, I don't demand information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I keep an open place for them to present information. And I'll open up the conversation to, like, hey, let's talk about, you know, just making sure that we're like, you know, feeling our body. Cause you said you want to be, you know, for example, a great volleyball player.
Right.
And you want to do D1. Well, do you know, if you're going to go D1, you need, are you willing to accept the difficult things that you have to do to be a D1 athlete?
Well, and it's, you know, my sister played D1 volleyball, and it's hard because you have to be, and I think this is what's tricky. You have to lift. You have to be strong. You have to be able to take impact on that court over and over and over again. So you cannot look like a beanpole, you know, like you, like from what you, they struggle with. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to have some muscle. And I think sometimes women think, I don't want to have all that muscle.
They don't.
Which I understand. Like, I'm not like, I have a tendency. I can get really, really muscular. So I can, but I still lift. I still, my legs and my butt get out of control, Jess. But I still lift and I still do all the things. Yeah. But I think the girls struggle with looking a certain way in a performance, like, because you have to have a certain amount of muscle on you if you're going to play a certain sport.
Yes.
You just do.
So I can use a good example of this when it comes to just when it comes to eating and just being an athlete. My sister was a D1 athlete. She played gymnastics.
She
was in gymnastics.
I've seen her tumbling around at the pool.
Oh yeah. So she played for NIU.
Okay.
Northern Illinois University and the Huskies. And she had to put herself to an extreme and, push
your... that's a tough one.
It's hard on your body.
It's hard on your body.
Extremely hard on your body. And there was a lot of things growing up, even me as a child. Like, my parents did a great job sitting down and having dinner with us every night. But as we got older, it got harder and harder with my sister being in gymnastics all the time.
Yeah, my kids are gone all the time.
I would be lying to say if we didn't stop at fast food places.
Oh, yeah. And I brought my kids through fast food places here and there.
And I'm not discrediting it. It's there for a reason. It can be the saving grace, especially on a really tough, busy day.
Yes.
And I think that when it gets to the point where that is your main resource.
That's when it gets to be. It's not the 20% anymore.
Yes. That's when but with my parents, like, my parents did a phenomenal job, and I love my mom and my dad with all my heart, but there are some things that now as an adult, you know, they recognize and they've grown through and realize that that wasn't necessarily the best choice. And it's okay. Like, I'm not upset at my parents for putting us in that position, but it did make me realize that there are some things that, you know, you can get injured by not getting enough protein or enough nutrients in your body. And trying to tell my girls to be like, listen, well, if you want to work out this hard and you're going to do certain things, you need to fuel your body.
You have to fuel it.
Like you brush your teeth.
But exactly. I think it's so important. And I I do this with my boys too, because they hate eating like a lot of food for breakfast. So usually it's like a 30 grams of protein yep. shake. And then I let them have like a muffin or something carbohydrate yeah. load, because they love their carbs. Oh, and it's muffins. Important for them. They love muffins. They love a muffin.
I love muffins too.
They love a freaking muffin.
My whole face was lit up when you said
yes,
muffins.
It did. I got some in there, girl. So, but that's the thing. I'm like, how can we pair some stuff so that I'm happy, their bodies are happy,
yeah.
and they get a little something else that, you know, so that will fuel them.
I will tell you this. I've used social media to a certain advantage with some of my girls. I've created vision boards on my Amazon cart
that's a great idea.
Yeah. So I've created like a vision board on my Amazon cart when some of them are like, well, I want to eat healthier, Coach Jessica, and I don't like school lunches.
The school lunches.
It's all they serve is this or this or this. And it just doesn't feel healthy, and it's terrible. Not meeting my goals.
No.
I'm like, okay, well, I have a board where it shows like, well, what sort of things do you like? Or right. what sort of things do the girls like? They love those like those protein salads where you have like a quinoa or like beans and mm-hmm. you have chicken or
girls
shrimp.
Girls like the pretty stuff. Have you noticed that? They like the presentation. I will say, I'm like, here, boys, here's a steak.
Oh, they love that. My husband loves that too.
I know. And listen, I'm like, I think I'm a male at heart too, because I'm like, yeah, give me a steak. But I've noticed my young girls are like, how can I make this pretty? So it does give you a chance to like, it's kind of a bonding time too.
Yeah.
Like my niece is like this. She likes to create all this stuff and like she wanted a food dehydrator for mm-hmm. Christmas. They like all that stuff. They just do.
I'll be like, oh, you love Trader Joe's? Oh, you love, you know, certain foods at certain places. Mm-hmm. Tell me some of your favorite foods. And then I will create a little aesthetic board for them. I'll be like, here's an inspo board for you. And these are healthy foods. And this is something that can inspire you to eat healthier.
That's amazing.
And I will create something and I'll be like, but you have to make sure you have a good complex carbohydrate.
Yes.
You need to make sure that you're getting your veggies.
Yes.
And you're getting your protein.
Veggies are important. You got to have those phytochemicals.
You're going to get the ick. If you don't eat these things yep. and then you come and work out for 2 hours and then you have a game, I'm like, you're not going to have enough energy in your game. And I said, you want to compete at your best. You want to be fueled properly and you want to feel good and just feel lighter and better. Yeah. You want all those things? Well, then these are some resources. Here are some tools. And if there's ever a point where you feel like, Coach Jessica, I don't know what I'm doing, Just tell me.
Yeah.
And I'll make it as easy as possible for you.
I think that I do this for women. I do it for myself. Like nutrition mm-hmm. does not need to be so complicated. I think the kids, because mine will send me stuff that they see. And I'm like, dude, this is so like, we don't even need, like, this is one of those things that like you can eat here and there.
Yeah.
It's not like you really just, my thing is protein, some kind of veggie that encompasses fiber, healthy mm-hmm. fat if they can get it,
yes.
no carbohydrate.
Avocados.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't like avocados anymore. They did when they were babies. They don't. Crane will eat it mashed up here and there.
Do you like spirulina?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Do you have them mix it in their protein
sometimes,
shakes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes. They don't like it when it turns green, though. They make fun of my chlorophyll, too. They're
do
poor
they really?
Kids. They're like scarred. They're probably going to go to college and eat McDonald's every day. So, no, I'm just kidding. They're pretty healthy.
Well, also that moderation too, because you don't want to be too extreme.
You can't. You got to let them go do it. You got it. That was something I really had to learn. I really was like, here in my house, like these are kind of my rules. This is what I want you to eat. If you don't want to eat what's dinner, you're more than welcome to make your own dinner, because I thought that was important for them. They want to make a peanut butter and jelly. You go do that. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then outside the house, there's like, you know, like this weekend, one of them wanted Oreos to make like a, we got that Ninja Creamy. Oh my God, Preston got it for his birthday.
Wait,
it's
are you
amazing.
Talking about the ice cream maker?
Yes.
The one that my husband doesn't use?
Oh, what? Well, we should have gotten it. Well, Preston loves it. He's got some, they make protein recipes and like protein shake recipes in there that are like ice cream. But all that to say, like they wanted Oreos.
Yeah.
We got Oreos. They're
yeah.
not in my pantry binging on Oreos. The Oreos, they ate like a handful and then they're done. So they're
yeah.
not like sitting there eating it, because it's not an off. Listen, I'm also one of these people that I'm like, I'm not going to lie to you saying that that's not crap. Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to say there's a lot of nutrition and dietitians like we shouldn't label food as good or bad. I don't label as good or bad. I say, okay, that's crap or that's really healthy for you.
Yeah.
which is probably the same thing. Yeah. But I also don't make you feel like crap when you eat crap. Like, I'm like, it's fine. I eat crap sometimes. It's okay. It's okay.
We're human. We're not perfect. And that's the thing that is like the main catalyst of like I talk with my girls about. And you can ask any of my girls if they have ever asked you, has Jessica told you that you are perfect the way you are and that it's okay to have chipped nail polish? And is it okay to like throw your hair in a bin and wear like sweats and like you look great the way you are. There is nothing wrong with it. And like, I will always advocate for my girls. Like, you are so beautiful and you are so strong and you are inspiring exactly who you are. You do not have to change yourself to inspire people, and your gifts are your gifts. And the worst thing I always tell my girls is like, do not compare yourself to her. Don't look at that girl.
Why we as women do we do that? It's like, I don't do that anymore, but I will catch myself being like, man.
It's not even necessarily like they see somebody who is in a place of, I'm just going to give you an example. I'm rolling out of bed and I'm just having a day. Like, and this is also the things too. Nobody teaches us really about our luteal cycles. And so we're just having a hard day. We're in a certain place of our cycle we're just like struggle bussing, you know, we just want to put on the comfy pants and we want to wrap ourselves in a blanket burrito. And you go ahead and you wrap yourself in the blanket burrito and you're like feeling good and you're eating your little chips.
And then you look on social media.
You go on social media and you see somebody who is doing something that.
In Barcelona in a bikini looking amazing.
And
do you like that example?
How are they doing that? Like, how are they being in this place? And they're seeing themselves in this place where they feel in their minds, they're setting it, I am not at where I should be.
Yes.
And yes, they're yes, not and yes. being kind to themselves.
Yes.
And then they're looking at this person and then they're like, well, they're eating this amazing meal. It's so much healthier than the, you know, the chips and guacamole that I am now eating watching my Hallmark movie. And setting the tone, you guys.
You like your Hallmark movies?
For a Lifetime. We love a good...
I have a best friend that loves her Hallmark and Lifetime movies. And I'm like, you do realize it's the same plot over and over. She's like, yep, it's amazing. I'm like, all right.
I just want to know that what happened. Was it 24 hours? Was it 48 hours before they fell in love and got married?
That's what she says. And I'm like, I'm over here watching like Vikings. I'm like, I've been.
That's a good series.
I know, right? I know. But I grew up with an older brother and I swear I eat. Everything I watch is like male oriented. I like the romance stuff too. I like it to have a little romance in there, but I do like the fighting.
Usually when I'm in my, I call it my gremlin phase where I just want to like hide in my little hobbit house and like wrap myself in a burrito and just like be in my comfort. I just want a good feel good.
Yeah. You like your Hallmark. I like it. No judgment. Hallmark. I think it's good.
I just love it. But setting the tone from before. So you're watching this person on social media or maybe on a show and they're just doing something that you're like, oh, I wish I was doing that. And you see yourself and you're like, I could do that. And it's not that you can't do certain things. It's just you're not that person.
Exactly.
You're not them. You are your own individual. And it's okay to be you. It's okay to be you and your, you know, your blanket burrito, eating some chips and just relaxing for a moment.
That's what I always think. I always tell my women, I'm like, you got to figure out where you are mentally before. And I tell my boys this too. You got to fit. Crane doesn't. Preston's the only one that has social media yet. But I'm like, you got to know where you are mentally before you open that phone. Like, so if I'm not in the best mental space, if like, I don't know, maybe I've had a rough time with the kids and like I get on social media and you see parents just, you know, doing the social media brag about their kids. I love those. I really do like seeing some of those. But they're a lot out there. How's that going to make me feel when I've gone through something like really hard with one of mine? You have to know where you are mentally.
Yeah.
I can open that up 3 weeks later and be like, oh, that's great. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to know where you are mentally. And I think that's the biggest part for the kids because we struggle with that. Because when you are down, you open and you see that, it makes them. And then it also with the girls, what I see is it makes them into this cycle of like the self-hate. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of that, like, just so angry at their bodies and what they can and can't do. And it's just, it breaks my heart because I'm like, you have this one body and it's really awesome. And you're comparing it to the girl that's been edited from head to toe, or could possibly be AI. We don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, my gosh.
There it could possibly just be made-up girl.
So there is actually AI, like, social media accounts that are just all
strictly... like bots. They always comment on my stuff.
Yeah.
Not nice stuff either.
You know, I just wanted to touch on something. Like, as you were saying that, it just... One of the things that I've actually... shared with some of my girls that I think is really valuable and has actually helped shift their perspective in many ways. And I advocate for the girls, but I advocate for the parents. And
absolutely.
The thing is it's not easy being a parent.
It's really not.
It's being the bad guy.
It's so not fun.
It's not fun. And it's not I get great. To walk in there and I get to always play.
You get to be the good, great guy.
I get to
and be. And we're grateful for, I'm grateful for y'all.
I love it, but I'm going to use it to my advantage, too. And my girls are going to be listening. I'm like, oh, Jessica's
advocating. She's manipulating. Sorry, girls. We're not talking about you.
But it's not even manipulation, but it's perspective. And I tell them, you know, this is your first time. I like to get deep with my kids. I'm like, you know, this is your first time living your life, right? How old are you? And they'll be like, oh, I'm 14. I'm 15 years old. Said, you've been here for 15 years. This is your first experience in this world at 15 years. And your mom, who you are fighting with, this is her first time being a mom.
Yes.
This is...
Oh, that gave me chills because it's so true.
It's her first time living too. Your mom, this is her one life. And the argument you're having with your mom and the hate... or the struggles. I mean, I just want you to think real hard. I was like, is your mom's first time being a mom? Mm-hmm. And I would like for you to give your mom a little grace at this moment, not because whether she deserves it or not, depending on what your argument is, because sometimes, you know, hurt people, depending on, you
know. And as I pointed out, my women struggle just as much as your younger women do.
Sometimes we say things... especially with the tongue. I always say this too. I'm like, the tongue is a powerful thing. It can build mountains. It can break mountains. It is literally like from the Bible. It's like, it literally personifies life or death. And you can create life in a person from the things you speak, and you can really hurt and destroy a person with such a small little muscle. Small. And she's a little thing.
Small and impulsive muscle, too.
Right? Spicy.
It is spicy.
And our kids, they're going to say some things. And they're
God, they do. They say some really hurtful things. They really do.
I've had, I remember conversations me and my mom had arguing growing up. I remember some things when my mom hurt my own feelings or said things that I felt unseen. And I was mean, and I felt like my mom was being mean. And really, in all, she was just trying to be a mom.
Right. It's the hardest job in the world.
And putting your foot down and being stern with you and telling you that you can't do something and not necessarily, like, not that she didn't get perspective on it, but just not being able to understand or acknowledge that perspective, because my frontal cortex did not... you know, develop at that point. I was so about...
You ain't got no frontal lobe.
I had no frontal lobe. I was just so about myself.
Yeah, which they should. That's just how they are.
And I tell them and they literally will stop. And I've had two of my kids just literally be like,
oh
my gosh, my mom is me, but an adult me. And I'm like, yes. I said, I want you to think of your mom right now as just a grown version of you. And I need you to look at your mom just going through life right now. First time. I said, you're struggling. Your mom's trying to figure out how to be a good mom. So, I mean, like, what can you do to be a good daughter?
And that, my friends, is why my kids live at Limit Lifters.
Yeah.
Seriously, it is, because AK does that. AK and Parker and everyone there do that with the boys as well. So much on respect for your parents. You give them a space to vent, but you guys always do have the parents, because it's hard to be a parent.
Oh, yeah.
It's so hard. It's hard to be a parent right now in this day and time, too. And I think a lot of parents are worried about how they're perceived. You know, I see that a lot. Like, how do I look they're trying to get their kids to be a certain way because that reflects them. Mm-hmm. I've totally owned our crazy. I'm like, you know what, y'all? I told Tyler the other day, I was like, I'm getting me that shirt that says, like, Mama tried. That's all I need. I can wear it every day. And I be like, you that. Know, if you talk about me, I tried. But I do think it's hard. It's so hard for parents. They're hearing a lot of different messages. And if they are struggling, like your girls or stuff, that analogy was on point. They're just an older version. And if they're trying to grow, if they're not as confident, if their self-esteem, because, I mean, women, older women deal with the same thing, the same things, like you're saying, with social media and friends going off on trips and marriages, they deal with the same thing. And if they're not in a good headspace, then it's going to be really difficult for them to be in a good headspace with their kid who's just not listening, and they just need them to freaking listen, you know, for 1 second. Mm-hmm. And then it's just this butting of heads, and neither one of them are understanding. I always tell everybody, I'm like, take a breath, like, and we have some fiery personalities in my household. We do. I have one. All of my kids are very fiery, but we're really big on afterwards. Whatever you say, you know, if you lose your temper and you say whatever, because I think it's a growing, as we all say things we don't mean in the heat of the moment, especially when we lack the frontal lobe to walk away.
Yeah.
But I always, and even for adults sometimes, we do, I do it too. I always say, like, you go back and you repair.
Yes.
Which makes you own. What'd you say, which makes you own your mistakes. And I think that any advice I can give for parents is to do that, and for kids too. Repair, 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 repair. You can't repair, like, you just keep going.
Yeah.
Because it's a peaks and valleys.
And not every kid is the same. Like,
oh my gosh, no.
You could have 3 children. Each one is going to have a different personality.
Welcome to my house.
And what worked on the first one isn't going to necessarily work on the second one.
Nope. And when you have, like, for the moms who have just girls, that's really tricky because they're being compared outside of you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you had a sister. How many times were y'all, or you have a sister, how many times were y'all compared? You know, my boys are compared. Oh, this one's that. This one's that. Anytime you have a household with the same sex,
yes,
it's really difficult because they are compared by the outside world, not you. So you have to be really mindful of how you are with each one of them.
Very much so. And my sister was the baby in the house.
Oh, I have a sister that was a baby too. Those baby sisters are special. We love y'all.
Yes.
We do.
Yes, I would definitely do anything for my little sister.
Me too.
She was so sweet and so sensitive. And I was the middle child.
I'm a middle child too. We are so special.
So misunderstood.
We are so misunderstood in this household. You know, Tyler's a middle child too.
Oh, really?
We have a household. We have 3 middle children in one house. And all the other boys laugh because they, like, you know, we can get off on our glitter children. You know, middle children are just like, whatever.
We're very empathetic, very nurturing, very just put yourself out there to help others.
You do. Also, and then you kind of beat to your own drum, and that's just how it goes. I will say middle children usually, some do, it depends on the environment you're brought up in. I never felt like a middle child in my household, but out in the world, I did, because I had these 2 very dominant, like, very athletic, and I was super athletic too. I just chose not to go that route. But older brother and younger sister. And so in the outside world, you're very much middle. But, like, in my household, we weren't. So I was allowed to be like that, like, just beat to your own drum and not really care as much what other people think.
Yeah.
And I think that's gone. I'll have friends be like, why do you not care? I'm like, it's not that you don't care. You're just like, well, their opinion doesn't really affect me beating to my own drum every day. And I see that with Crane's total middle child.
I will say that it's interesting, like, the different dynamics of being a middle child, but, like, when it came to my eldest brother, I looked up to him. I was such a tomboy.
Me too. What was your age gap?
Just not even 12 months.
Okay.
Like, literally 12 months.
My brother and I are, like, 22 months apart.
Yeah.
But we were a year apart in grade.
And then we weren't born on the same day, obviously. It was, like, 12 months.
Yeah.
Like, it was July of 87, and then I was September of 88.
Okay.
So,
super, like, close, though.
Yeah, so close. But long story short, my brother was just, like, he was so cool to me. I'm like, oh, my older brother, I want to be just like him. I want to, you know, just really be in his energy because he's so cool and older. And my brother was like, ew. And And I was like, no, my stubborn middle childness was like, no, you are going to be my best friend. You're going to be my
best friend forever.
Forever. And then my little sister was just like, she's a fairy. And she's they're just literally just frolicking.
The babies of the family are
in her own world.
They're something. They are just, they're just what they are.
Just in her own world, just, you know, flipping, doing gymnastics, just. And my brother wasn't really in sports. He was in band. And, and I was in sports as well, but a different – I played soccer for 9.5 years. But long story short, what I was just trying to get at was that for me, I think one of the main attributes that really, like, I feel like when you're the middle child or, like, as a sibling, and I think what I can definitely relate to you in this is just, like, just being very much a strong person, an individual – but also being super nurturing.
Absolutely. And absolutely.
Middle child superpowers.
Middle children are amazing. Yeah. I mean, I love the first and babies too, because they're just amazing too. But those middle children get overlooked sometimes because you tend to be, they're misunderstood. They are very much misunderstood. Their personalities are misunderstood.
I just wanted to know why.
Yeah.
Just tell me why.
All the time.
I wanted to understand. I was just like, well, tell me why. I was always asking my parents. I'm like,
they're
why?
Like, oh my God, stop talking. So if you have, circling back to wellness with young girls, if you were to give any advice to mothers, to parents, to guardians, whatever it is, to get them involved, you know, around like the benefits or why, that answer of why should they invest in their health as a young woman, what would you say? What would you say to those parents to get them going and to the, I guess, to the young girls too?
I would definitely say when it comes to investing in your health, it is not just an investment. This is your life. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a lifetime journey that you're on and you have one life. And really being happy and just being able to just flourish in the person you are and just being able to open up to the individual that you are. I feel like a lot of times when it comes to the fitness industry, a lot of times you're being sold something.
Right. I tell everybody, I'm like, y'all, the fitness industry is out for sales. So like I'm out for you to grow and to be better, because here, and you know this, like being in the fitness industry, you got people got to make money. So it's always the new thing, right? Mm-hmm. When really it's just the basics.
What you're going to learn from just not just, I would say, myself or my husband, or what the main core values of really what I want to bring forth to the women that I deal with is just feeling empowered, feeling strong, feeling like an individual, feeling like you can take on anything in everything, and being okay. I don't like to say fear of failure, but fear of taking on adversities and falling down and being able to get back up and knowing that you're strong enough to be able to do so. And a lot of times when we're looking at the fitness industry and we're looking at this field, it's oversaturated with a lot of information and a lot of people trying to sell you a plan or a certain thing.
Programs.
Yes.
And all the programs.
And those programs, like, some can be, hating on any program, but we are our own individual. And when I see you and you're going to sit down in front of me, I'm looking at you.
Yes.
And whatever we do is going to be for you, but not just for you. I look at the big picture. It is for your family. It's going to be for your friends. It is going to be for everyone that you have an impact on, because healthy people impact others around them. And I always tell my girls, I'm just like, if I've done one job and I've done it right, is to just know that you are going to be a strong, loving, caring human being who can advocate for themselves and their health, and just being able to have that impact on the world. And whatever you do, you can do anything you put your mind to, but at the end of the day, what's in your cup? In looking at what you're filling your cup with. And I want to make sure that they're filling it with the proper ingredients, whether it is being outside, their mental health, their physical health, their emotional health, being able to navigate having really difficult conversations. They're not just going to walk in there and get a workout.
Yep.
They're going to have a mental workout too, because I'm going to challenge them.
Because it's all related, right?
Yes.
It's all related. It's all together. That's what we've messed up with, yes. just being these two parts.
No, it's everything. And then I will be the first person to say, like, you know, are you talking to a counselor? Or like talking mm-hmm. to them, have you talked about mental health before?
Right. Some of them, I think people in society get the mental health part. And I am a massive advocate of mental health with mm-hmm. young children, because if you don't have a child that's going to have I shouldn't say it like this. If you do not have a child that feels safe without judgment to talk to you, and that's not a reflection of you being a parent, that's just a reflection of the world. They're all going through stuff. So whether they're spewing it out at you, it is, or they're just shoving it back in.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you cannot grow up in this day and time and get out unscathed. Mm-hmm. It's just, you have got to focus on your mental health. And I think parents think, oh, they're happy, they're okay, they're fine. Mm-hmm. But really, when they come into you, I'm sure you've seen this, they're not always fine, you know?
No.
Not always fine.
But I will tell you that one of the main things that I could tell you all day about this, mm-hmm. and this. I'm like, I'm going to work on this with this person and this on that person. And we're going to learn how to habit stack. And we're going to learn how to wake up early and do this and do that. But every person is different, and everyone's values are going to be different. Yes. And really, truly, I think the main thing that I would be like a selling point, and it's like, I'm not trying to sell anybody anything, but the one thing that like I could say and that I would like to personify as, you know, a business and as an individual who helps other and just being a good person is just showing people in living that life. I want to be able to have someone look up and be like, you know what, Coach Jessica was a good person mm-hmm. and she cared about me. And she looked at my needs and my wants and like my goals. And she said it was okay for me to fall and get back up. And she didn't judge me for it. And she allowed me to learn. And teaching them is one thing, but embracing them and their imperfection is like a whole other can of worms that I think a lot of people, they say that they are there for you. But how often have people actually come around and said like, you know what? It's okay.
It's okay. I always tell my kids, like, I never told you weren't going to fall when things happen. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I know it sounds like, but I never promised you weren't going to fall.
Yeah.
But I will promise you that, like, I'll stand beside you as you figure it out
mm-hmm.
how to get back up. I'm not going to do it for you, but I'll be here. And I think that's exactly what you are to these children. You are someone that is there for them through all of it. And it's been amazing to sit down with you today. I hope for all of you that are listening, you can see and hear what an impact Jessica has on this youth, and especially young women, in an area that, you know, that I think needs to be spoken about more, much more, that you're tackling this. And, you know, obviously my boys go to you, all of y'all, but if I had a girl, like, she would be right there with you. Because I think it's so important to have another mentor, especially another woman that you can look up to. Just like for the boys, they need another man to look mm-hmm. up to. And what you guys are doing and what you're doing is just being that soft place for them to land, which they don't have a lot of in this world. And for me, like, think about the impact that you're having on these kids is absolutely amazing. So thank you for sitting down with me today. I hope everyone has enjoyed it. Jessica, tell them where they can find you, where they can reach out to you, where they can follow you, where they can see all the amazing things that you guys are doing.
Great question. So
she's like,
ask my husband. But no, the main places that you can find us is at limitlifters.com as our website. You can find us at limitlifters on Instagram. We have other Instagrams too. You have Jessica Olasanya, mm-hmm. First and last name, and then you have AK the Limit Lifter, which is my hubby. And you will find lots of fun videos that are posted about our youth and a lot of the strength and conditioning programs we do. If you are looking to train one-on-one or group, we offer a variety of options for you in person and as well as online.
And you'll have the app. That is amazing.
Yes, the Limit Lifters app. And that all could be found through our Limit Lifters website. So www.limitlifters.com.
And I'll link all this in the notes. But thank you so much for sitting down. I'm wishing everybody health, love, and happiness. And thank you so much, Jessica, for joining me today. Thank you. Bye, guys.